Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Gail Carson. Gail is a spunky old broad, or at least that's what her website proclaims. She is one of only 5 people in the U.S. to have a doctoral degree, be a certified speaking professional, and a certified management consultant. She has presented programs in 50 countries and 49 states, and is a radio talk show host, columnist, and midlife crisis coach. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Gail.
Oh, thank you so much, Karma. Delighted to be here.
Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little bit about your journey to success in public speaking?
Well, I came at it probably different than most people. I had actually been trained as a speaker in college. My majors were English and theater, and my minors were education, broadcasting, and speech. So in college, I actually did 17 public presentations a week, and I did straight D's and ended up with A's because I asked my grandmother to send me a tape recorder, and in those days, it was reel-to-reel, and so I practiced 3 hours a night to be able to speak. So by the time I graduated, that was one skill that I had developed very well. And I went into business very young. I was 21. And the only way I knew to promote and the only inexpensive way to promote was to speak. So I went out to organizations and different places in the community to speak and deliver programs. And I did that 52 weeks a year. I just was speaking everywhere you could possibly imagine. And I did that for free. I probably did 10,000 free presentations over the next 21 years. And finally, I had booked a lot of speakers because I had, as one of my companies, a convention service business. So I was booking people like Bill Gove, who was the first president of the National Speakers Association, and Sam Edwards, who was also a CPAE, and they kept telling me that I should go into speaking professionally because I was better than they were. And I saying, I don't have time for this. I'm running a business. And I had, at that point, 7 offices, and I had 350 people that I was working with. So I just never did it. And finally, they just really shamed me into going to the National Speakers Association. And once I did, and I realized I could make a living at being a speaker, that is exactly when I came back. I put my business up for sale. It was sold over the weekend, and I became a professional speaker. That's exactly how it all really started. And then, of course, you can speak, but that doesn't mean you're going to make money at it. So I had to get on the phone, and in those days, you used the phone and started calling meeting planners. I called 100 meeting planners a day and ended up 500 a week, and I really didn't care who said no. I only cared who said yes. And within 9 months, I was doing 135 to 150 programs a year. So that's really how the speaking career got started. But I always was a speaker because I had been trained as one.
Given that particular path, do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something that you're born with the ability to do?
Well, I think there are some people who are very natural at getting in front of people, getting in front of groups, getting in front of whomever to disseminate a message, whatever it is. It's just like I go to the gym every day, and when the teachers don't show up, I teach a class, and everybody thinks it's really phenomenal. And I'm thinking, well, it's just one more thing I'm doing on stage in front of people. So if you're inclined to be an extrovert and do those kinds of things, it may come easy to you. I, however, do think that there are people who can be developed as speakers if that is not a natural tendency for them. I do think it can be developed. I also think that there are wonderful speakers who can be enhanced by taking certain kinds of training, whether it's acting or comedy or whatever. And then I also think that there are people who will never be able to get up in front of a group and speak well. It isn't their thing. They don't like to do it. They don't have a good voice. They're a nervous wreck. So there are people who will never, ever do it. But there are certainly people who have started in speaking without training, But those people who are successful and start that way continue to improve by taking instruction from other people.
You know, something you said there I think was really the key. Those people who will never speak, I think the key point there is they don't have an interest in it. Because I think if you truly have an interest in something, you can do it.
Well, I'm going to disagree a little bit with you, Karma, only because I agree with you to a point, but I disagree in the fact that there are people who want to speak, who think they are good speakers, who think their voices are good, and that they have a very important message to share. And while they do have a message to share, I can tell you there are some people who just flop. They don't have the personality. They don't have the voice quality. They don't have the presence to pull it off. They just don't. And I have seen that over and over again. So I do think that they want to do it. I don't think they realize their limitations.
I guess it's kind of like that actress in Singing in the Rain, where they're going from silent film to talkies, and she can't sing it.
And that's true. I mean, that's a wonderful example, because there are people whose voices will just never be of the quality that they need to be. And that has a lot to do with your acceptance as a speaker. So I do think that that's a part of it. I also think that there are certain people who do much better by putting their message into words that are written, but express themselves in books, or something like that.
So a voice for authorship.
Exactly.
Okay. So now imagine if you were a public speaking superhero. What do you believe would be your main superpower?
This is a great one, because it would be to get people off their duff and actually do something. Because we all know that you can study and study and study, but until you implement or take action or any of the verbs that you want to use, nothing's going to happen. And so my superpower would be to be so inspirational, so motivating, so impactful that within 24 hours, they would have taken some action that would make their life better and actually be a reward to them.
Good. So what advice would you give someone if they wanted to develop that particular superpower too?
Well, I would certainly take a look at who else in your field is saying something, because there are too many people who sound the same. They tell the same stories. They have the same message. They have the same approach. And it's just like this morning I was working out, and one of the trainers there is going to school, and we were talking about what he is planning to do. And he's changed his major a couple of times. And he said to me, well, it was suggested that perhaps I could be a lifestyle coach. And I said, no, you can't. And he looked at me and I said, it's not that you can't. I said, you'll do very well at it, but there's hundreds of lifestyle coaches out there. And what's going to be different about you? And you have to be presenting yourself in such a manner that you're going to make a living at it. I said, there are a lot of coaches out there that are just suffering now because they're not making any money. I said, you'd be much better off. And then I gave him my pearls of wisdom. But the important thing is that in order to be a superhero, you really have to have a unique message, and you have to have a unique and positive way of delivering it, and you have to have the results that you can prove to other people that your methodology works. And that's where I think people go off the beaten path, because, as I say, I've heard the same stories. You really need your own unique stories, stories that have happened only to you, and you really need to see that your message is totally different from anybody else, or else you're just going to be another person who will be a speaker and be able to do presentations, but you won't be a superhero.
Well, because you need to niche yourself and make yourself stand out. You can gather together, for example, five life coaches, but each of them has their own unique way of approaching that particular profession. And why you would hire one over the other is how they market themselves, how they express their own unique approach to life coaching. And I would assume it's the same way as a professional speaker.
Absolutely. But you've also said a very key word there, Karma, and that is marketing. Marketing is the key to anything, whether it's speaking or life coach or any other business or profession. And most speakers do not like to market, and they do not like to market themselves. And they just dream that a wonderful marketing person is going to fall into their lap, and it doesn't happen. And I was just having this conversation with someone yesterday who said, you could be a wonderful speaker and a poor marketer and not be successful. You could be a terrible speaker and a great marketer and be fairly successful. But if you are a great marketer and a great speaker, then you become the superstar.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Marketing is really, it's a communication format or technique. It's a way of making yourself stand out and expressing what benefits you offer compared to others.
The problem that I have found with some of the people who are out there marketing themselves as speakers, or maybe they call themselves something else but actually they're a speaker, is that they make a lot of promises that they don't deliver, or they profess results that they don't come through with. And I am seeing that more and more and more. And it troubles me because I'm proud of what I do. And I'm proud of the profession. So when I see people who make promises and get people to pay big dollars for events they are holding or courses that they are teaching or presentations that they are doing, and they don't follow through with anything, or as soon as someone gets involved with them, they turn them over to somebody else, and you're no longer working with the top dog. You're working with some of the little puppies. It's not truthful. And so that I do take offense.
Yeah. And something else you mentioned too is how the marketing is so important. I think a lot of people have trouble marketing themselves because they don't like to think of themselves as a product. And to some degree, you need to think of yourself as a product when you market yourself.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, I totally agree with you there. But I also think there are people who, marketing's a dirty word. I remember way back when I got my doctorate, which is many years ago, and my thesis was on marketing post-secondary education, because at that time I had a chain of career schools. So I did a whole dissertation on marketing post-secondary education in trade and technical school, because that's what I had. And they would not approve my dissertation because marketing was a dirty word in education. Now, if you don't market education, you don't have a college or a university. I mean, everybody buying for that student. However, it was a dirty word. And it's to many people, speakers especially, marketing is a dirty word. They don't like to do it. They don't like to call up somebody and say, I'm great, I'm terrific, you need me, because it is self-effacing in a lot of ways. It's a tough call, and that's one of the reasons they don't like to do it.
Yeah, marketing, sales, and public relations, although they are different, they're all kind of in the same bag.
Right, they're all tied together, absolutely. You have to do all of them.
And they do get a bad rap because there's always a stereotype of like the used car salesman who's really pushy, or the marketer who lies to you to get you to buy something, or the PR flack. There's a lot of negative terminology around those three professions.
Absolutely. And I will say that I have a very good friend who says, my proudest moment is saying that I'm a salesman. He says, I am so proud of being a salesman because he loves selling and considers it a very sophisticated profession.
And if you do it ethically, there's nothing wrong with it.
That's right. But I will say that that is a thorn in a lot of speakers' sides. And those who have put together a staff person who can do that for them, they are just blessed. However, most speakers have to do it for themselves. The other thing, too, and I don't know if any of your other guests have mentioned this, is that a lot of speakers think that they can just get in with any speakers' bureaus. And a speakers' bureau really doesn't hire a speaker until the speaker doesn't need them anymore. In other words, when they're cool and famous, that's when a speakers' bureau will book you. They think, well, I'm just going to get an agent and it's going to be easy for me to do. And that is not really true. I think that's another thing that has to be cleared up. Very often, speakers' bureaus will be submitting 10 or 20 people for a particular job. You're not the only person. Until you have a really good track record with the bureau, they won't submit you as someone who is the only person for a job.
Right. And basically, in almost any profession where you are the core of the business, whether you're a public speaker or an author, a writer, a service professional, you really need to become a master at self-promotion. And you needed to be able to do it yourself before you're ever going to be able to hire someone else to do it for you.
That is true. You need to be able to know how to do something before you instruct somebody else. But then again, in my schools, I did all the selling for a very long time. And then I hired a staff of about 6 people in sales. And while they totally did more selling than I did, I sold more individually than any one person of the 6, even though I was doing it part-time and I did it with one hand tied behind my back because I was so busy doing everything else. So very often, even though you have done it yourself and you hire someone to do it, really there's nobody quite like yourself to promote what you do, because you can answer every single question that anybody asks you about your material or your presentation or your style or anything else. I mean,
right.
in reality, it's great to have a great marketing director, but they will never do as good a job as you can do for yourself.
Right, because it's only one you.
That's right. Unfortunately, we'd like to chop ourselves up into about 10 different pieces, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your unique wisdom with us today on Public Speaking Superpowers.
Thank you so much, Carmen. It was delightful to be here.
Wonderful. This is the end of today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Carmen Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on her picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.